You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
On this week's show...
We were 3 months into production when Clarkson's came out and we did get a lot of suggestions. Oh, they just ripped it off or copycatted it. You know, we were 3 months down the line into filming. And then Clarkson's arrives, I think it was summertime, and we're like, oh, right, okay. So we were not trying to do anything like that. We are fans of all those shows.
But before all of that, welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. Today's clue about today's guest is ooh-ah, or should I say guests, plural. Wendy, any clues from you?
Ooh-ah, combine harvesters. It's taken me back to my youth in Wiltshire. So if I were to say things like the Dingles and the Tates and the Sugdens, that might give you a bit of a clue to one of our two guests and my nan shouting at me to shut up because this particular show was on the telly.
Okay, enough with the farmer cliches. Let's get chatting to them. I have much to ask, mainly of the how come you're leading my dream life and I'm not variety. Welcome, Kelvin and Liz Fletcher. How are you today?
We're good, thank you.
Hello, guys. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
That's more like
I'm so glad you said that.
I'm more like a pirate.
The first question we ask, which I suspect there might be some of all of these in your house this morning, is any sweat, snot or tears in the Fletcher house?
Absolutely. Yes.
Every morning, it's just a real big effort to whinging, crying. And so, yeah, it's kind of pegging us back about 5 or 10 minutes. So on the school run of late, we've been the last parents rocking up. You hate being the last parents, don't you? But that's been us.
That's me every day.
Yeah, that's us every day, really. But it's even worse now. But he's going through that little stage of just whinging, won't do anything without being held or cuddled. And when there is snot, teaching them how to blow the nose, that's a task in itself, isn't it?
I know. My son's 10 and he's still not brilliant at it. I'm like, hard out to your nose. Like, harder.
I know, you just want to do it for them, don't you? Think, come on, life will be so much better once you've done it.
Do you think it's anything to do with the fact that, very excitingly, there are twins on the way, right?
Yeah, maybe he's like sussed out that he's a bit kind of not going to be the baby anymore.
That is a good point. I never thought of that, actually. But he's not really taking much notice of it. He does like to blow raspberries on my belly and says, baby's in there. But it's more our daughter, who's 5, who can't wait to be, you know, pushing them around in a pram, giving them a bottle, cuddling them.
Well, let's face it, with twins, you're going to need all the help you can get. So it's going to be slave labour from the second they come out.
Yeah, train them up now.
Absolutely.
Train them up now.
But tell us about this twin business. Tell us how you found out, how you reacted when you found out, and how big or not big your bump is.
So the bump is huge. The bump has been huge since what feels like day one of being pregnant. And I've got months, what have I got, about 3 months left?
Yeah.
To go.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually sure how much bigger this can possibly get because I'm feeling stretched out already. Well, I'm told from, I've had a lot of lovely messages on
Instagram.
You've always
had a comical bump, though.
Yeah, I have always carried huge babies.
But does it feel heavier? Like when you're walking, does it feel, by the way, I'm mimicking a kind of weird, like, Mr. Chubby kind of walk thing on my camera.
Walking with a melon between your legs is the...
But yeah, does it feel heavy inside?
Definitely. I've definitely got the waddle. The waddle is there.
You've got the waddle at the 20 weeks mark. Oh.
Yeah, that's a
good
deal.
I fear for your pelvic floor.
Yeah, trampolines are out, girlfriend.
Trampolines have been a no-go for a while.
So how did you react when you found out? Because I can only imagine my husband was bad enough with one. Kelvin, were you like swearing and crying?
Fainting.
It was the opposite. I think I was, there's twins in Liz's family. So I think a great grandma was a non-identical twin, her and her brother. And so I guess knowledge of that, you think it's always a possibility, you know, maybe it's a possibility, but we never kind of went in. I guess it's like winning the lottery. Maybe that's not the best analogy, but you never think it's going to happen to you, do you? And I guess, well, certainly for me, twins is always like that, you know. How amazing would it be just, you know, to have twins is, you know, a gift a gift from God, really. So it was so to get in the scan, you know, just a routine scan, if you like, to then be kind of told that, the nurse said, oh, we've got something to say. And I think you was aghast and was like, don't tell me there's two in there. And she was like, yeah. And honestly, in that moment, it's the most joy I've ever felt in my life. Like,
oh, it
was
such
just
a lovely thing to hear.
I've never, it was, I can't explain it. It was just the most overwhelming, happy, like euphoric, just then straight away. I think the oh my goodness, what we're going to do. I kind of, you know, I think you was panicked a little bit, and then there's a overjoy. There's a complete mixture of emotions. But for me, selfishly, I was just thinking, this is amazing. I'd not even thought of the logistics of how, you know, suddenly you have to change your car. How you're going to breastfeed two babies? You know, we're going to be that family walking into the restaurant, holidays. Yeah, I've not even thought of that. I just kind of thought of, this is literally, this is a miracle. Out, this is amazing.
Aww. Do you know what you're having? And do you know if they're identical?
We've not found out yet. It's going to be a surprise. So we
have found out, but we're just not telling you.
Okay, that's fine. But can I ask a really dumb question? How do they know if they're not born, if they're identical?
Because they share a placenta, don't they?
Oh, okay.
Not necessarily. Yeah. You can still get identical twins who don't share a placenta.
There's so many probabilities of twins that they can't be 100% sure until they are born.
Wow, that's so exciting.
And they all come looking the same anyway, so you're going to spend the first few days going, are they identical? Aren't they? Yeah. I can't tell.
The trick that I've learned over the years as a parenting journalist is apparently you need some nail varnish on hand, Kelvin, and you paint one of their little nails one colour and then the other one of their little nails another colour, so that from birth you're sure who's who.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because if you put a hat on them or something, some unhelpful person's going to come and take the hat off, or the hat's going to fall off, or the sock's going to fall off, whatever. But nail varnish, they're unlikely to be able to chip their own nail varnish off at birth. Unless you're having geniuses, which you might.
I mean,
I don't know.
The thought of a nurse walking in and you're painting your brand new baby's
nails. Sorry. Look, we're celebrities, you know. Sure. We take our kids' manicures really seriously.
Just in case the paps are outside, we've got our nails done.
So you've got a Marnie and you've got a Milo. Are you going to have a Mildred and a Matilda, or is it not going to be Ms or a Michael and Moses? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is the dilemma now, because do we keep that and then the whole family is M's, or do we not do that? But then will someone feel left out? As in, why didn't you go with an M with us? Or,
well, I think you're part way to becoming England's Kardashians with your reality show. If you're really serious about it, you'll commit to that M. Come on, guys.
I like the idea of the M. I'm trying to angle towards sticking with it, the M theme.
Right, listeners, we will put this on Instagram. We want some M suggestions.
I bet you bookies will be taking bets by the end of the day. Will they go with the M or will they not? How are you going to juggle 4 kids, 8,000 sheep and a farm? Have we got a plan? Have we got a pen and paper and a chart going? Or how is this going to work exactly?
Oh, you'd love to be that organised, wouldn't you?
I'd love to. In my idea, I've got a really good, pretty strict, robust plan that as you know, it can offer the stability and the structure that you need, but then is open to, you know, to change. As a good plan always, you know, always should be. But Liz doesn't like plans, doesn't like to be organised, likes the idea of chaos, likes mess, likes not being able to find the socks at 5 to 8 in the morning.
It's a bloody good job, quite honestly, because it's all coming.
You know, this is the problem with twins. I'll be that mum that never dresses in the same because I can never find that same outfit.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I think you sound like a good couple. You're very yin and yang. Is that how it works in your house?
Massively yin and yang. I love things to be organized, planned, structured. And it's just because we've not really got a structured, consistent life, work life, certainly. So for me, a school routine or just those few hours in the morning, or to try and get that structure there is just like, it's the only thing I'm craving, really, because it's so hard to kind of find any sort of consistency with work life because it's simply not there. So at least try and find a little bit of consistency and structure in family life. And Liz is like, yeah, it'll be fine. You know, the socks sometimes live there, the socks sometimes live there, and sometimes live over there. That's just, you know, 20 minutes.
She just likes keeping you guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So do you have any help? Is there a granny around the corner or, you know, are you really doing it all? The farm stuff, the kids stuff. Obviously, you're doing the growing a baby stuff on your own, Liz, but is there any other, have you got help?
I mean, we've got a great support network with in-laws and my parents, but they're an hour away.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the odd occasion, they'll, I mean, last night, for instance, we had to go to, we didn't have to, we chose to go to a lambing show, as in to speak with vets and get some advice for, we'll be lambing in a few weeks. So we wanted to, as newbies, you know, we can, you can read as many forums, ask as many questions, but to go and kind of get hands-on advice from your local vet was pretty important for us. So we went to a thing last night. So obviously Liz's parents came over, picked the kids up from school and had them for a couple of hours. So that was a, but that probably only happens maybe once every week, every couple of weeks. So they're on call should we need them, but because locality where they are, we literally are doing everything ourselves. You know, this morning I did the school run, came back, fed the pigs. Liz was looking after our daughter who wasn't so well, and that's every day. We're just managing everything ourselves at the minute. Farm wise, we've not got any farm hands. It's just me and Liz. But obviously, Liz is going to be taken out for the next couple of months because she's obviously carrying herself. So.
And I'm not allowed to go near the sheep, and you don't realise these things when you're pregnant. It's dangerous for pregnant women to go near pregnant sheep. They can carry a virus that awfully could cause miscarriage. So it is.
Don't go near the sheep. Stay inside. No, I've not been.
And Kelvin is very, you know, even his clothes, he'll change them at the door before he's coming in the house.
Good.
And we are very strict with that. So technically, Kelvin's a man down. And. Has to do even more on his own.
So, guys, what's going to happen, right? It's midnight and she goes into labour with the twins. You're an hour away from any help. There's fields full of sheep. How is this going to work? I'm getting nervous already. I won't be sleeping for the next 6 months, I'm telling you now.
Well, rule number one, stay calm.
Okay.
Make sure you've got
I need you in my life, Kelvin. I need
I'm
you.
Good at
Carry
that.
On.
I'm good at that. Stay absolutely calm and then you'll think straight. If you get in a frenzy, you're going to panic and you just think straight. And all you need to worry about is everything that you can control. What I'm in control of at midnight at that point, obviously Liz and Babbies are the priority. So we're 10 minutes from the hospital. We drive 10 minutes and we get there, but I drive there.
Okay, fine. I thought you'd be an hour from the hospital as well. That's what was getting me.
Yeah, no, when we say we're an hour away from our parents because they live in a different county. But yeah, ideally where we are, yes, it's this idyllic countryside, middle of nowhere. But yeah, literally within 10 minutes, we could be in a town with a hospital or a train station or a, you know, a Starbucks or anything like that. So yeah, we're pretty good in that sense.
Okay, I had visions of Bob the farmer from the farm next door turning up with a rubber glove.
He probably could, but these farmers are like that from down there. They literally, I mean, I guess farmers up and down, they'll just, we joked last night with Jack, our local farmer, and he's delivered cows, delivered lambs. Oh, I could deliver a couple of babies. Yeah. I won't put it past them.
Well, after your lambing course, you can probably do it yourself.
Talk to us about farmy things. So what's the farmiest thing you've done so far?
I want to know, when did you reach peak farmy person? As you can tell, I did not go to agricultural college.
There's been a few moments. Like, I guess, weirdly, I'm getting a... I mean, listen, we're a year in, you know, and obviously what you've seen on the TV, what was on the TV show was a year ago. So we've very much come a long way from there. But I'm getting a real instinctive nature now where I thought something with the grass, I thought one particular field was a little bit short this time of year, you know, a farmer's struggle with livestock is you've just not got enough grass, having to constantly substitute that kind of what your land is giving you because the nature of, you know, the season. And I thought, it's a bit short. I need to kind of move these pregnant ewes onto another field. So I just thought before, and also take the males away. We've got two males in the flock of 30 sheep. And they're very much big and you know, not when you're going in for a little bit of feed, if you're going there with some sugar beet or whatever, the males will try and move the females out of the way. They're not the most courteous. And that's the time when, if she's heavy and lamb, she could maybe miscarry, something like that. So it's a good time. I was thinking, seeing these boys a bit boisterous, I need to kind of take them away and put them in a different field. So I rang our mentor, Jillie, and said, Jillie, listen, this is what this field, we have a drive past. To me, it's looking a bit short. Anyway, half an hour later, she was like, yeah, you're right. It's a bit short. Move them on and move the boys out. You're right. So it's weird how kind of, you know,
that's
sometimes
great.
It's probably a little bit of common sense. But
you felt proud of yourself that day, didn't you?
I rang you up. Yeah.
He came in and said,
I made a
I've
good
got
call.
The instinct. I've got it now. I know what I'm doing.
Even the way you told the story was very farmy. You said, it's looking a bit short.
Oh,
see, I would just say, oh, the grass is looking a little shorter than usual. But you went, it's looking a bit short. Straight to the point, farmer speak. So back to my beginning question. How come you're doing this? And I'm not. What was the What was the, right, we're actually going to do it. Not just going to talk about this, we're going to do this.
Keep getting asked that, and every time I think we give a different answer.
I know, it feels like such a long time ago.
No, people kind of, a lot of our friends and family, mum and dad, you know, I mean, certainly my dad, I guess we can make, maybe I'm the catalyst in that because I'm kind of I've had an idea, Liz, everything does start with a thought, and I kind of relate, and Liz is stupid enough and brave enough like me to think, well, yeah, let's do it. And that's our whole attitude, is to absolutely embrace the unknown and take challenges on. And, you know, when people say, oh, wouldn't it be lovely? I'm like, well, do it. And if it don't work out, then you fail and you go back, you know. So moving abroad or changing a career or whatever it might be, those big decisions that people, friends and family, for us, dither about, and, oh, they're just not really worth taking that sort of risk. I don't see it really as a risk. Yeah, it's a bit of a risk, but life's a risk. So, yeah, it was like, listen, I'd like it if we kind of, live in the countryside and just do something completely different.
Well, we were meant to go to California. That was the
slightly
plan.
Different. Slightly
very different. And then the pandemic hit. So our visas kind of got put on hold. And that's then we kind of looked at it, right, what are we going to do now? Because moving was always going to happen. It was just a case of where and what.
So we went from sunshine, chasing blue skies, to chasing rolling hills.
Yeah,
chasing sheep.
So it was just a little bit of, let's just do something different. We're young enough. Yes, we've got children at school, but let's just have a great experience and let's just try something new. And I guess as actors, you know, your destiny sometimes feels like it's forever in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for us, it's to take control of something in our life to give us that absolute consistent focus that we're in charge of. That, for me, has just been so fulfilling. And then everything else, you know, acting, whatever it might be, as and when you want it, it's a bonus or whatever, but it just gives us that absolute focus. It brings us all together. We're doing something as a family. We can implement our own ideas, our own ways to try and make money, to learn new, you know, to learn about, you know, administering vaccinations to sheep, whatever it is. I'm genuinely fascinated by all that. And it's just been an absolute learning curve. Yes, at times I feel like we're bitten off more than we can chew, but ultimately we've taken a plunge. And so many people have reached out and said, oh, just, you're doing exactly. And it's not just making a big move.
You're living my dream.
It's just maybe a career move when you've always thought, oh, I'm not really happy. Well, if you're not happy, do something about it. You know, that's just my whole motto, is get it done. You know, take a first step.
When we interviewed Angel Strawbridge a while back, she said that they tried when they started their new life in France to become part of the Chateau set, but
she didn't really like it.
And is there like a farmy set? Have you got a gang of farmers that you go and get drunk with, or not drunk in your case, Liz, but is there a farmy set, and do you enjoy that, or are you very much the four of you?
No, that is the one thing that I was worried about moving here. I thought I'm going to be isolated, moved away from my friends, had a great friendship network in Oldham where we used to live. And that was my biggest worry, of just thinking, oh, what? I'm just going to lose all that now. But actually, that community is bigger than we had in Oldham. And it's funny because we all live so far away from each other that, you know, we've not got a neighbour now that you just nip next door. The neighbour is literally a mile down the road. And they are all so kind to us and so generous. And they will call around when we moved in. They all called around to introduce themselves. They brought gifts and like baskets of food. And they've become, and we speak to them regularly. And when you go to the pub, you know who's there. And they've all had these little community events or do's, and you get invited, and they're all just on hand, and they all want to help. Even with the babies, not just the farming, they're all like, if you need any help with the babies, ring us.
It's still all very new though. We're only a year in, you know, and anybody who's moved out before, it's a huge thing. So, you know, you're contending with new schools, new neighbors, new areas, discovery of new local coffee shops, supermarkets. You're kind of just finding your feet, and we're still a little bit late to the party really, because maybe you do that within the first few months. We were filming a documentary in the first few months. I was away doing other acting work. So it's been such an intense year that we kind of now we've been. And there very much is a farming hub, if you like, around here. This is a professional hub as well, and different, you know, career paths from different people. Naturally, where we are, there's a lot of farms. And they've been great. I'm still, you know, we're still not fully fledged farms. And we don't expect to be. But we've kind of been taken seriously somewhat-ish, you know, and our efforts and endeavours have been kind of acknowledged. And but there's some huge big commercial farmers there, and there's also some smallholders like ourselves. And the one thing that's consistent is you feel part of a group. You feel that there's somebody there that you can ring up and ask for some advice. So yeah, it's been really lovely. And Liz said last night, we're in this vet place having a talk. I wear scruffy clothes every single day. I love it. And Liz just looked at me and said, "You've just gone back to your roots, you haven't you?" Meaning, secretly, I just love
looking scruffy,
just looking things out, fixing things.
Bacon baps.
Bacon baps, you know. They had a bit of free food up there. I went up for seconds. I think just me, I don't know if it's my roots or what, but and I just love that simple life. And Liz was just kind of signaling to herself, saying, "Look how happy you are." And I was like, "Yeah, I love it."
Now, before, there was a question we were going to ask, but I actually want to know what you think about being compared to Jeremy Clarkson.
I guess it's a comparison that came on off
it's
the bat, wasn't it?
It's quite a comparison. It's quite an odd comparison.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit unfair, I think. Unfair to the shows, you know. There's a whole host I could probably name half a dozen straight away of that type of show, you know. Idyllic country living, representing the industry and giving you an insight as to what it's like. You know, Kate Humble has one on Channel 5. We absolutely love that. Obviously, The Yorkshire Farmer, I think Channel 5's biggest, most successful show. Matt Baker's got one on Channel 4.
Yeah, you know, This Farming Life, which I love that show.
That's very, very, you know, subject matter. Something that's a little bit lighthearted, your Matt Baker's, your Clarkson's. So to be exclusively compared to Clarkson, I think, was a little random, you know. And I guess it's because it's BBC, it's a big platform. BBC One, it's prime time. Then naturally, they are going to be compared to what's the, you know, making the biggest noise at the minute, which is Clarkson. But as people can see, I think episode 3, episode 4, it's a complete different show. You know, we were 3 months into production when Clarkson's came out. So to suggest that we did get a lot of suggestions. Oh, they've just ripped it off or copycatted it. You know, don't forget, there's probably a 3 or 4 month development process. There's a pitching process, commission process. We're 3 months down the line into filming. And then Clarkson's arrives on, I think it was summertime. And we're like, "Oh, right, okay." So we were not trying to do anything like that. We are fans of all those shows. Clarkson's.
We loved Clarkson's, didn't we?
It was brilliant, yeah.
Binge watched it.
And hopefully there'll be fans of ours as well, you know. I think.
Just don't copy his techniques for farming, would probably be my advice, with my obviously extensive farming knowledge.
Yeah, I'm not copying anyone. You know, I've got no need to. We're very confident who I am. I'm very confident who we are. Liz is confident, you know, as a family, what we represent is just us. All we are being is ourselves. And the mistakes that we make, for me, are genuine mistakes. The successes are genuine successes. And, you know, any comparisons like that, you know, I, for me, watch our show and make your conclusions. Then if you love it, then great. If you don't, then, you know, watch something else. That's just the way it is.
I think that's a very healthy attitude. Now, if you could give one piece of advice to anyone else pursuing the farmy dream, what would it be?
The dream.
Well, yeah, because like it's interesting, actually. I think you have a lot in common with Angel Strawbridge. Like they did the same. They fancied a life turning around a chateau in France, so they went and did it. You fancied having a go at a farm, so you went and did it. What would you say to anyone else who's kind of on the cusp of shall we?
I think it's very easy to just say go and do it, because that can sound, you know, let's not.
But it's hard when you're parents, isn't it? Because you've got to think about what it's going to mean for the kids.
Exactly, and my friends always said to me, "Oh, when you meet somebody, you get into, you might have, I'm very, very, very ambitious. So is Liz. And you meet a partner and suddenly you think that becomes somewhat your excuse to not so much change your dreams. That then you have kids and that becomes the limit. And I just think the absolute opposite. When me and Liz first got together, we first moved together, Liz wanted to go and pursue a musical theatre, you know, dream. So we just moved in together. And Liz said, "I've been picked to go to a musical theatre school in London. It means me moving to London for a year, 12, you know, 18 months. So I was like, do it. I can't think of, yes, I'll miss you. We've just moved in together, but you have to absolutely go and do it, because I'd expect that of if it was the other way around. So kids are the same. Yes, it's a little bit harder when kids are in schools, but put the kid in a different school. You know, these sort of adventures of life and mixing with different people and things, it's, for me, I very much, obviously, a decision that we, you know, for a year and a half, we researched
different
areas.
Yeah, we didn't decide this overnight.
The industry, could we make it work? How would you commercialize it? Yes, there's been a bit of artistic license with what you've seen on TV. We are very green in those situations of wrestling a sheep. But for me, that was the least important, the fundamentals behind that. The, you know, the exploring different schools, exploring how far away from the nearest hospital, how far away from your in-laws, yeah. All those decisions that you think, you know, can we make this work? So for us, a lot of research, my advice would be absolute a lot of research. And then if you want to do it, if you're waking up at night or in the mornings and it's just still, you want
in
to do
your
it,
head.
Absolutely do it. And you've got to just give it a go, because I'd rather give something a go and fail and come up short than in 10 years' time or 15 years' time.
Say, I wish I'd
regret.
Done that.
I wish I'd have done that. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you're always young enough. If you're 20, 40, 60, if you want something bad enough, you just got to go and make it happen. How do you feel, Liz?
Yeah.
That... I always steamroll you, don't I? I always honestly. Say, we're doing this. Come on. And Liz is like, right, come on.
Yeah, I do have to buy into a lot of Kelvin's ideas, but luckily some they're good ideas. So if they were
bloody good job,
I wouldn't just go along with anything he said. You know, I have said no to a few.
Yeah, if he wakes up tomorrow and says we're joining the circus.
Yeah, exactly. Or if he wants to fly to the moon, I'll say, listen,
oh God, I've given him bloody ideas now, haven't I?
She can't join the circus pregnant with twins. It's just not happening.
It could be a feature.
Well, if she gets as big as she reckons she's going to get, it could be a feature. The marvelous expanding
woman.
Come and
see the world's biggest lady.
If farming goes wrong for us, maybe that's what we'll do. Join the circus.
Come back on the pod and tell us all about it.
We can't wait. That'll be a whole other episode. Now, one of the questions we always ask near the end is, guys, what's for tea and who's cooking?
Oh, tea. This is a...
I saw a steak in the fridge this morning.
Yeah, I'm not very good at doing a big shop. I'm not your typical wife that has tea on the table for everybody, and it is a bit of a improvisation at tea time.
It's not your typical wife. We just delegate jobs, and I'm kind of managing.
You don't really
outside.
Cook.
So I say, right, well, your job can be just do the weekly shop, Liz, and then it gets to a point where I'm like, I'll do that job, Liz, because. You only seem to buy coleslaw,
no.
A couple of bits of chicken.
What Kelvin would buy and what I buy are two very different things. Oh. And Kelvin has been threatening for 16 years that he's going to do the big shop. And I'll say, just go and do it then. Just, I'm happy for you to do it.
He hasn't done it once in 16 years.
Kelvin, get out there and do that big shop. Come on.
He's done the odd one, but he'll
just
get...
I'm just going to give that stare. You don't need to... When your partner says something and you think... And you don't even need to say anything, you're like... Come on.
You don't do a big shop. Like, you come back with some random things when you go to the shop. You have to admit that.
Treats.
Yeah. Just not things that are useful. And we are very different. What we eat is very different. And Kelvin's been threatening, I'm going to do it. So one time I left the fridge empty for as long as possible until I was starving, and he wasn't getting any food in that I liked. So I went back to doing the big shop.
So tonight for tea.
So what, who likes what? If Kelvin cooks tonight, what are we having? But if it's you, Liz, what are we having?
Oh, go on, and we'll see who's cooking tea tonight.
I just want ease at the minute because I'm so busy. So I've noticed that steak. So I'll probably just do some rice with it, and then just a load of veg. Make sure we got a load of peppers and broccoli and stuff in, and just do a little bit of a stir fry. Really quite simple, you know, a bit of red wine, cook the steak, and then get a load of veg going, and on a nice bed of rice, and you know.
Sounds nice, right, Liz? What are you fancying?
I'll have that. That sounds great.
So Kelvin's cooking tonight, and Kelvin's taking over the big shop.
Yeah,
so
done.
He's going to be a bit busy, but we're sure he'll manage.
Now, I don't know which one of you's going to do this. This might cause marital disharmony, mightn't it? So
I think we already just did that with the big shop question.
We always ask our guests at the end of the pod to imagine that you're tucking Annie and I into bed like we're your kids, and to sing us your lullaby. Who does the singing? Is it the person who does the big shop?
It's me. I'm all about bedtime. Oh, I'm all about...
Well, musical theatre, of course it's you.
Oh, but I'd be like, we're doing a big show, we're doing a big show. And then Liz is very much, you've got to just, onwards,
yeah,
it's all quiet.
It's meditation, it's calm. Oh, Kelvin's resting, everybody. And I like to tell the kids three amazing things about themselves so that they go to bed with great thoughts. And I've got one little song that I sing to them both. Should I get Marnie to hear? Should we get Marnie to sing it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Marnie,
come on.
Do you want to come and sing the song that I sing to you at bedtime? Come on then. Come round here. Quick.
Quick.
This is special.
We'll sing it together in case you forget. So do you want to say... Sing what song me and you sing at bedtime? One, two, three.
Everybody looked, she closed her eyes and rested her mind and went to sleep with this lullaby. So close your eyes, dear mommy, rest your tiny head. Mommy is here, there's nothing to fear. Close your eyes and dream, my dear.
Yay! You guys! I love it. You're like the Von Trapps of farmy life.
You know, I might record that and get it as a number one hit.
Is that your own song?
Oh, did you?
I made that up, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She's multi-talented, ladies and gents, multi-talented.
Thank you.
We're going to love you and leave you to get on with your farmy life. Now, good luck with the rest of the twin pregnancy. Good luck with the lambing.
Thank you.
Good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck with everything. And thank you so much for being such lovely guests today. We love you sharing your story with us.
Thank oh, it's been guys. Great. Thank you for having us.
Speak to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.